Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Bill Smoots delivers the message entitled, Grace Will Walk Us Home, Hope Givers. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Thank you. first scripture lesson today is from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, a portion of the second chapter. Hear now God's word for God's people. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one group, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is qualified for these things? For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many, but as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God, we are speaking in Christ before God. And our second lesson from the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, the story of Lazarus, a portion of that story. When she, Martha, had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with Mary in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, while I do like chocolate chip cookies, I want to talk about another smell that's even more of a favorite to me. My Mason grandparents, my mom's folks, were married for 68 years. And it wasn't until the last year or two before she died that my grandmother Mason, I called her Grammy, quit baking every day for my grandfather. Grammy made amazing pies and cookies and cobblers. She was not much of a cake baker, but when she did make a cake, it was good too. Her baked good that I most remember was the bread she made. Only on the rarest of occasions was there a loaf of store-bought bread at Grammy and Granddad's house. Instead, loaves of the most wonderful smelling, most delicious tasting bread in the world would emerge golden brown and piping hot from the oven in Grammy's kitchen 2 or 3 times each week. And the smell of her baking bread, or of it cooling on a wire rack sitting on the countertop in the kitchen, was one of the most delightful and comforting smells that my olfactory bank includes in its account. To this day, the smell of baking bread or freshly baked bread takes me right back to Grammy's kitchen in an instant. And I can nearly taste a still warm, freshly cut, melting butter running off the edges slice of her bread. Excuse me a moment. I have to stop and savor the deliciousness and the smells. Perhaps some of you have a similar memory and a happy and or comforting smell from childhood. I'd love to hear your stories after worship. There were some amazing ones after the 8 o'clock service. Smells, good and bad, are at the heart of each of today's scripture lessons, with Paul challenging us as he challenged the Corinthian disciples so long ago to pay attention to the aroma we give off as disciples of Jesus in this day, in this time. But we'll get back to this idea in a moment. Given our modern sensibilities of wanting to avoid every and all bad smells, and especially our avoiding being the source of bad smells and odors, I believe we often join Martha in wanting to keep the stone in place, of wanting to keep a lid on anything that truly smells bad and disturbing, to wanting to keep a lid or a stone against those ethically messy situations that we proclaim by saying something smells rotten. Jesus is less concerned about the potential of a disagreeable odor than he is concerned about once again denying hope to those who need hope the most. It is important for us, I think, to continually remind ourselves as we read and ponder Scripture, especially the Gospels, that Jesus spent much of his active ministry caring for and providing hope to the most marginalized people of his day. Laborers who needed their wages every day if they and their family were to have anything to eat on the table at day's end. Subsistent farmers and fisherfolk and craftspeople and women and children and those who were physically and emotionally unable to do anything. To people who existed on the razor's edge of survival all the time, Jesus offered hope with the simple yet audacious proclamation that God, who knew who they were, that God loved them for who they were, that God had a future for them, that God would never abandon them. Jesus' message of compassion and God's nearness was a proclamation of hope. A gift of hope to people who were trapped in the relentless vice of generational hopelessness. Meaning that it was not just the people to whom Jesus was speaking that knew no hope. It was also those who had come before them. Their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and on back generations before. And when hopelessness stretches back so far, it messes generationally with us in spirit and mind, and maybe even messes with DNA until present day descendants of hopelessness don't know what hope looks like, don't know what hope feels like, don't ever let themselves imagine that they might know anything resembling hope one day. I've known such people, such children of God, in several of the communities where I have served a church. And such hopelessness is gut-wrenching to watch and experience. And such hopelessness is truly challenging to address, always requiring lots and lots of relationship building before much of anything meaningful can slowly begin to happen, which is a deeply frustrating thing for most of the Presbyterians I know, myself included, and I'm guessing most of us, for we want to seize a need and craft and implement a solution and get it done and move on to the next need. Because this is how we understand the world. This is how the world has generally worked for us. But it is the generationally hopeless for whom Jesus showed up on that long ago day in Bethany. These are the people who needed a dead Lazarus to come back to life, to jar them towards an understanding that God's hope is for them too, that God knows who they are and God is paying attention to them. Jesus knew that even a four-day-old dead body can't smell as bad, can't cause as much damage as hopelessness stretching back in time beyond memory. In our second Corinthians lesson, Paul reminds us, actually, Paul insists that we be the aroma of Christ, the aroma of Jesus to the world, all people everywhere without exception. Modern science tells us that smell is one of a human's most powerful memory triggers. As disciples who share with our words, but most importantly, who share with our actions, as we share the grace of the aroma of Jesus with the world, we have to give some thought and consideration to the olfactory quality of our sharing. Will our sharing of God's love for the world in Jesus be remembered as smelling like freshly baked just out of the oven butter melting bread? Or will our sharing only smell like four-day-old dead Lazarus? Every time a disciple of Jesus, whether their role is in the pew or in the childcare room or in the choir or in the pulpit or on the street or in the grocery store or wherever we are called to be, every time a disciple of Jesus says something awful or judgmental or both about another human being needing to be avoided or excluded or condemned in the name of Jesus, the aroma that lingers with long-lasting persistency and consequences is neither pleasant nor faithful. And because we want to be disciples who offer an aroma that makes Jesus compelling, an aroma that makes Jesus believable, an aroma that makes God's transformative love in Jesus available to everyone, everywhere, without exception. Because we want to be this kind of aroma, creating, inducing, making disciple, we have to be sure that we pass the smell test of faithfulness everywhere and with everyone all the time. I think that if there was an exact formula for disciples of how we are to bear the aroma of Jesus, Paul would have put it down for us in Corinthians. But Paul is wise enough to know that every person and every situation requires something a little bit different from us as disciples if we are to faithfully be and share the aroma of Jesus. In the last verse of our 2 Corinthians lesson, Paul reminds us that sharing the aroma of Jesus requires us to be persons of sincerity, requires us to be persons who are paying attention to God's purposes and not just our own, requires us to be persons who believe and live the hope to which God calls us in Jesus. In this season of Easter, this time when the powerful glow of Easter resurrection lingers brightly in our lives and in our church and in our world, in this season of Easter, we intimately know and are abundantly filled with the life-giving hope of God, hope that God continually makes available to the world of people that God loves. This is the hope that we as disciples of Jesus are invited and expected and privileged to share with the people around us, indeed with the entire world. Tom Schumann is a poet and a fellow transitional interim Presbyterian pastor. And recently, he once again read through the entire Bible in a year, following one of those disciplines of reading where you are invited to read several chapters from three or four books of the Bible each day. Throughout his year of reading, Schumann would then choose one of the readings he had had that day, one of the passages, and he would write a brief haiku-like poem inspired by one of the texts. And he put all this together into a fascinating little book called Grace Will Walk Us Home. The poem Schumann wrote after reading chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, it's printed in your bulletins, but it goes like this. Like warm bread just out of the oven, may we be the bouquet of grace for those hungering for hope. Like warm bread just out of the oven, may we be the bouquet of grace for those hungering for hope. For our spiritual homework today and in the week to come, let's all work at being a bouquet of grace for those who need hope the most. I know we know who has such need. I know we know where we probably need to start with them. God willing, and I believe God does will this for us, God willing, our good aroma will enrich another life and will make the kind of difference in that life that Jesus invites us to make. And God willing, our good aroma will be pleasing to God as well. Let's all pause for a moment, sit back a little bit, take in a deep breath. Can we smell it? Can we smell that good aroma of hope? How gifted we are in Jesus. What an opportunity we have to share these gifts. Thanks be to God. And let us now respond to God's word this day as we join together. Let's stand and join together in the affirmation of faith printed in our bulletin, stating together something of what we believe. together. We believe in the wildness of Easter, when strong winds blow through the earth and the swollen tips of plants are bursting forth with life, when the logic of all life is challenged by talk of resurrection and return. We believe in the power of God to contradict our naive assumptions and overturn our natural expectations by raising Jesus from the dead again, even in the apathy of our postmodern lives. We believe in the presence of the risen Jesus, who is here now in the community of faith, smiling in the faces of children, nurturing the hopes of the elderly, and challenging us to deny the finality of death. He did not die in vain. God made him the first fruits of those who slept. God made the rejected stone the foundation of everything. God planted a wildness in our hearts that will not go away. In the wildness of Easter, nothing will ever again be the same, for death itself has died, and we are gifted with life evermore. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Sarah Heitman, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. Tab is a Christ-centered church that offers a variety of programs and volunteer opportunities for all. I enjoy the pastor's weekly Bible study. It's a great place to learn and connect. Tab is known for its hospitality on Sunday and every day of the week, and I'm happy to help make Tab that welcoming place. Join the Tab family for worship in our beautiful sanctuary this Sunday. There's always a friendly smile to greet you. My name is Sarah Heitman, and I invite you to come and see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.